Good morning, or good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This lecture is the last lecture in the course. The course is entitled Social Technical System Enabled Crime. The purpose of this lecture is to help prepare you for the exam. So far in the course, we've had two or three video lectures, and you've had the material to read. And we've done the labs and Skype sessions. The exam question is unique to some extent, and it should be, the exam itself should be a learning experience. And it's made of two parts. The first part requires you to reflect and describe a social, technical, criminal opportunities. I will put you in a situation where you will be in a situation where you will have to think about how a crime could be committed in this situation, and what are the opportunities, and how the control systems around this scenario are. The second part of the exam question is similar to the first part, only that in the second part we are introducing a new type of technology. I've divided up the exam questions into parts, to some extent artificially. The mark will be based on both the part one and part two. It's not a question of 50-50%. It would be totality of your exam answer, how you jump from the concrete scenario, and in this case, a scenario that has changed slightly. The exam is scheduled for 3 hours. And of course, what's important is, and I guess what you're thinking about, is how I'm supposed to prepare for this type of exam. And the answer is reading and thinking. And I'll give you some examples of some exercises, the exercise you can do to prepare for the exam. What I will do now is just go quickly through the key issue in this course. As I said, this was a thinking course, more than a doing course. And what I wanted, and I'm hoping that was given across, is the idea of a mental model, a way of looking at the world. In cognitive psychology, it wasn't called that then, but in cognitive psychology now, the term mental model was first introduced in 1943. What it is, it's the way the mind forms its view on reality. And much of this is gained through experience. In this case, in terms of systems thinking, by experiencing, seeing, and using systems. And you start using these mental models to interpret the world. Interesting enough, both past and present. And to some extent, construct a world in terms of future. So as you gain more experience, these models help you to predict the future and to some extent create the future. The simplest model that I want you to go away with from this course is looking at the systems that you have to work with in a layered stack. This is often referred to as system engineering, and they often use system engineering in computer systems. In this case, we have the lower bound of the stack, where we have computers, we have networks, we have operating systems. then above the operating systems we have applications. And above the applications we have more abstract type of layers, and we call them processes. And above the processes we have organizations. And as you can see in the diagram, the social technical system thinking approach is the top side of the diagram. There are many different ways of modeling this security problem. This model here is representing the threat agents, the utility, and the vulnerabilities. It's a UML, universal modeling type style of modeling. Well, if you look at the security problem abstractly, you have an owner that, in this case, values an asset. The owner wishes to minimize the risk to the asset. The owner imposes countermeasures to reduce the risk to the asset. These countermeasures may possess vulnerabilities that lead to risk. And the most important of all, we have the threat agent. So the threat agent wishes to, in this case, abuse, or in our case, perpetrate a crime to this asset or about this asset, damage it, which creates a threat, etc. So what you have here is a way of modeling the problem. In the course, we've been presenting you the so-called security by consensus model, the SBC model, which does basically the same thing. So I would like you to reflect on how the picture on the left and the picture on the right are congruent. So in this case, we have the potential victim, which is the owner, and the countermeasures are basically the social technical control stack, where you have ethics, legal controls, administrative controls, operational procedure controls, mechanical electrical controls, and your traditional computer systems. And all that is wrapped around the asset in this case, which is the data of the user. So you can see how you can map the similarities between these two diagrams. So one diagram is a standard universal modeling language for looking at the phenomenon of computer and information systems attacks with owners and threat agents. And the other is the SBC model, which was introduced in this course. There are many different models, and often the model talked about the most is confidentiality, integrity, and availability. The CIA, so-called CIA model, has distorted to some extent, and we saw this with the ransomware attack of 2 weeks ago, is that in reality, the attack was on the availability of the information, not the confidentiality. Now, I'm just presenting these pictures as reflection to get you to maintain the thinking. So there's many different ways of modeling the problem. The reason we have mental models and the way mental models are done is shown by this cartoon where a father is taking money out of a bank machine. The son is asking questions as usual. The father gives a naive explanation of the system by saying there's a little man in the system. And then the young man uses that mental model to understand the rest of the world. In this case, he says, well, if there's a little man in the ATM machine, then that explains how the garage door opener works. Again, the model that I've been pressing in and repeating over again is this is the way we model computer systems and in industry, we have the different layers. We have the digital layer, the microprogramming layer, the conventional machine layer, the operating system, assembly, and then you get so-called problem-oriented languages like COBOL, Fortran, and even higher up you start getting into the script languages, Python, Java, etc. So there are many, many layers. So again, the mental model I want you to go away with, and the one I'd like you to use in the exam, is this layered model. Now, of course, in many situations, this layer model will break down because the layers become too complex or the layers aren't exactly well-defined. But for this exam, I would like you to keep focusing on this layered approach. And you see here again the stack, as they call it again, how you have one stack and another. And we talked about in the course how you have these syntactical, semantical chains, how the syntax of ethics is used to define the semantics of laws, etc. And basically the picture on the right is trying to demonstrate a complete security system where the ethics are coded in to the hardware. Now these models can be used to compare systems. As you see in this one here, we're comparing two systems between a British hospital and a Swedish hospital in this case. And we're comparing to see how the ethical systems are the same, the legal systems are about the same, the policies about the same. One thing that's not the same is the in-house security. They had more physical security in the British hospital. And that's what you see sometimes when you're doing system analysis, because you have to compare apples and oranges. This is just an example. The other one we talked about a bit in the course is this so-called dynamic model. So any social technical system can be modeled using these four terms or these four categories. Of every system has a culture for control, a structure, certain methods, and certain machines. And these things all affect each other. And what you want to do when you're doing social technical analysis is find ways of measuring and measuring the changes, because the system as a whole tries to combine these things, they interact to create a balance. For example, this diagram is trying to show this notion of balance, where you have culture, structure, methods, and machines that are interacting correctly with each other. In the diagram on the right, we see we have a culture that's different and trying to change things. And nothing can be changed because the structure stopping it. And this creates an insecurity in the system. Now this diagram here is just giving a schematic type of approach explaining how you measure culture. In this case, we have something called equifinality. So here we have a situation where we're introducing a new thing, a smart card reader. And then we've measured the culture. And in that culture, we have this distribution of early adopters, late adopters, and a majority. And you see here we have the laggards here that won't accept any new technology. This is the duck killing the computer. And we have the one that thinks all technology is good. So if we introduce a smart card reader into the system will maintain security because the culture will help drive and will accept the changes in the methods and the machines. Whereas in the next one, have the exact same structure, machine, and process, but this system will be insecure because of how that culture accepts new technologies. And one of the notions, which is not discussed clearly, was that it's when it comes to technology adoption, it appears that often the criminal elements are adopting the technology quicker than the victims. So the attack technology is ahead of the defense technology because of conservatism or a different distribution in the culture. And the way you capture that dynamic is you have this dynamic all over, and the way to capture that dynamic is to go through and discuss the ethical controls, the legal and contractual controls, the administrative controls, the operational procedures, the applications that are used in the system, the operating system, the hardware, etc. So in order to get all these four things reacting to each other, you use this type of approach to capture the dynamics and systematically look at the weaknesses and strengths in the system. And then to look at this as a system of system concept, many systems are linked together. So you have system one, which is connected to system two, and system two is connected to three. And what will happen is you get a propagation of error, so that a weakness in one system will pass on to another. And this is one way of analyzing it. You can go at ad infinitum in this type of approach. But when you're doing a social technical analysis, you define the system and focus. And then you can look at the system above or the system below, as I mentioned before. And this gives an example how a weakness at the application level in system supplier one is propagated and can cause and be allowed to propagate because of weaknesses at system three, etc., supplier three. So this is one way of modeling a system of system concepts. I have to move now because the lights go off. Hello? Hello. Now, the real issue now. So the important one that you should read again is chapter 13. Chapter 6 also, in terms of due security models, computer crime. But for the exam, I highly recommend that you reread chapter 13 and think about what's being talked about in chapter 13. As you remember, in the labs, you took the modeling approach and then you analyze a case. You'd be required to do something similar in the exam. But again, as I said, it'll put you more into the scenario than an actual detailed case. What I would suggest that you do is that in the lab number two, there is a part two where a new service, in this case, this was a service proposed in 1995, so it's not that new. And there you see how this service was used to, I'm going to have to move here. I'm back. So it's called the video contract service. What you should do to prepare for the exam is read this new service and then identify the different layers, what control mechanisms, given examples of control mechanisms that should be in place in order for this service to be secure enough. What ethical and cultural mechanisms do you need? What legal mechanisms do you need? What administrative and operational mechanisms do you need to have this service be enabled and working properly? And again, that's the social side. And then you have the technical side. What application layer, what hardware mechanism should be there? So the idea is that you should look at lab number two and look at part two, where we're doing the video contract service, and reflect on the types of crimes and controls that could happen with this type of service. So again, I'll repeat. So basically, the idea is that this diagram on the left, this model, this mental model of looking at the security problem as a stack of controls, is what I would like you to take away from this course and show that you can apply in the exam. As we pointed out before, what it appears is that the so-called semantical change, etc. I jump to this again. This diagram on the right. If a crime, a vulnerability has been acted upon by a threat agent, it will result to some extent because there's a weakness in this so-called syntactical security chain. That's to say that the technical mechanisms weren't properly connected through the processes. The processes weren't really connected to the policies. The policies weren't connected to the laws. The laws weren't connected to the ethical systems. Now, everything cannot be 100% connected. And this is where you find the weaknesses and or strengths in a security system. So, for just to remind you, assignments are due the 6th of June. The assignments are a 5 to 6 page assignment, where basically what you're doing is taking a case that you find in the mass media, collecting as much information as you can about it through the mass media and or scientific reports, and try and do a social technical analysis of it. That's to say, to find out where the vulnerability, where the weakness occurred. Let's say we called it a social technical autopsy, etc., etc., but you're trying to find the so-called weak link or the root cause analysis. The structure, in a sense, can be very structured, and you can follow all the way down from the ethic to the legal to the administrative, or you can, some people are more comfortable with that, going back from the hardware to the software to the networks. And don't forget the networks, because it's confusing to some extent when one's looking at this, because one has to look at the network as another node or another system. Another stack. Any questions about this? If you're having any problems, I will be on the road for the next week or so. I'm going to Rome in 2 hours. That's why I'm giving this recorded lecture at 3:53. But on the 4th and 5th of June, the 4th being a Sunday, the 5th being a Monday, I will have Skype open office hours. If anybody wants 15 minutes or more to discuss or ask questions about the course and help prepare for the exam or on your assignments, just send me an email saying you want a Skype time, and I will answer you back if the time's available. I'm quite flexible on these days. And I'm available for any questions. So with this 20 minutes or half an hour, 25 minute session preparation lecture is trying to do is to quickly review the information, to explain to you what the exam question is like. One of the ideas with the exam question is in a sense, it's a type of security control to some extent, because this could have been just an essay course. And just think about some of the opportunities that creates if one only has to submit an essay. That gives the opportunities to what? To get someone else to write the essay? And the whole notion of how we in the academic community try to design systems to detect cheating, etc., is something that's interesting to reflect on. All right. I hope everyone is finding the time to prepare for the exam. It's 3 hours. I know it's difficult to write by hand. I'm sorry we're not into digital exams yet. But don't forget also on the exam you can have pictures. And some strange sounds in the room now. And I look forward to reading your answers to the situation I'm going to put you in. Again, any questions, you can send me email or sign up and send me an email asking for a Skype time. As I say, I will be on the road for the next 5 days, but I will be back on Saturday, and I will be available for any phone conversations or Skype meetings on the 4th and 5th of June. Good luck.